and now evangelist David Shannon.
Hope you have your Bible. If you do, please turn to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. As we study from 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, I hope that this lesson will challenge you in a simple way. And I hope you do understand I'm not preaching this lesson from a have-it-all-together standpoint. I preach this lesson from a topic that I struggle in, and I'm sure that many of us struggle in this area. It's so easy sometimes to get off target. It's so easy sometimes to get to thinking that so many other things are so very, very important, and we leave behind the basics. The very thing that we were to begin with. After a few years, we look back and we have to scratch our head and say, am I there? Am I even on the foundation that I was supposedly started on? Remember the one writer said, when for a time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one go back and teach you again the principles. The foundation, right where you started, and you're still having problems there. We'll have a rerun for a few of you that was in Bible class this morning, in the adult Bible class. Just this past weekend, I was talking to my father, and it's kind of funny. The subject comes up, not often, but I can remember off and on throughout all of my life, living on the farm since I was five. And we have a barn on that farm that's built on a good foundation. And to ever hear my dad describe the farm, if he's talking about the buildings, he will always mention that barn that's on a good block foundation. He never just mentions the barn. It's that barn that's on a good block foundation. When we first moved out to that farm, I didn't really understand the significance of the barn on a good block foundation. To me, it was just another barn. Then a few years later, we purchased another farm that had a barn that if you looked at how it was built, it seemed to be built properly. The studs were strong and frequent enough. The rafters were frequent, often enough. But their barn was leaning two different directions. The bottom part of the barn is leaning this way and the top part of the barn is leaning this way. And after every windstorm, everyone rides down the next day to see if the barn fell last night. That's how bad a shape it is. Everybody's just waiting for it to fall. We no longer keep cattle in it. We're afraid that it'll fall on them. The only difference in the two barns is the foundation. The foundation. Both had strong structures. Both were well used and fulfilled a good use. But now one is useless. One is still very useful. What's the difference? Surely the only difference is the foundation. Brethren, I ask you this morning, where are you spiritually? These are a few questions I hope you can answer. Where are you spiritually? And where are you going to be 10 years from now? I know you and I have no way to predict the future. But we can predict, if we're on the wrong foundation and we're unwilling to change, that we probably will not even be in the church at all. We won't even be meeting with the church in just a few years. I urge you, let's pay close attention to this reading in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and think about it soberly this morning. Let's begin with verse 9. For we are the laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another man builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for that day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yes, so as by fire. Notice the latter part of 10. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. This morning, when you think of your spiritual life, how have you built? Does your spiritual life surpass the three times that we gather during the week? Does your spiritual life consist of habits? And habits can be good. Does it consist of areas of discipline that you've given to yourself? Does it consist of certain ways that you have tried with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength to build on the proper foundation? You know, Luke says a good bit about building. There's two stories that would help us tremendously this morning as we look. If you will, turn over to Luke, the 12th chapter. A story that you're very familiar with this. And verse 18, he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns," and notice, "and build greater. And there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods." Now notice all of these personal pronouns here. "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast made as much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself, and not the rich toward God." This morning, where are we building? Are we building only for material things? Are we building for the glory of God? From this short little story, we can see two things. We cannot build the proper structure, no matter what foundation we're on. We can't build the proper structure if God is not involved in the building. Here this man said, "I will pull down my barns. I will build up for myself greater barns. I will say to my soul," brethren, if we leave God out of the building, we can't build a structure that's pleasing to God. And when we build, we must always give the glory to God. Can you say this morning, can we say, "Yes, I'm building Monday through Saturday"? What is our proof? And I'm speaking to us as individuals. Answer in your mind now, what is the proof? "Yes, I am building every day. There's a certain time I study my Bible every day. Yes, daily I'm making sure that I'm building the structure. Yes, daily I'm praying to God. I'm keeping the doors of communication open by reading His Word and praying to Him. I'm dependent upon Him daily." What is the proof that you can give yourself at this moment that, "Yes, I know that I must have my God to build on the foundation that He's laid"? No man can build without God. And no man can build only on Sundays. And we must all give God the glory for the things we have built. Now there's another powerful story just a few chapters over in the 14th chapter. Turn with me to Luke, the 14th chapter. Notice what he says about this man. Look at verse 25. "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned, and Jesus said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it?" He says, "Listen, you people are wise in the ways of the world. You know what it is to build something. You don't say, 'Well, look, I have enough money here to build a foundation. Let's just start. And then you build the foundation, you say, wait a minute, I'm out of money. He says, no, you don't build towers like that. You look from the beginning to the end and you figure out a way to pay for that structure before you ever build the foundation. Now this is something we don't hear that often from the pulpit. Jesus says, I want you before you ever come to me. What is it worth to you? He says, I want to hear an answer. What is it worth to you before you ever come to me? He says, don't come and say, I'm going to build on Jesus Christ, and then one little thing happens and you say, that's not worth it to me. You say, I'm not ready to give up my family. I'm not ready to give up myself. I'm not ready to give up the things that are before my following Jesus. He says, you sit down and you count the cost before you ever build on the rock. I encourage us all to think about the cost, to reevaluate our spiritual life, and to give ourselves an honest answer if we're willing to pay the price, and then to stand firm for the rest of our life saying, yes, I'm going to pay the price. Yes, building on the rock means that much to me. You know, during the past few years, and especially when I was working up north with the kids, I really struggled in the area of how do we keep our children from the phase of high school into their young adult years and keep them steadfast in the Lord. And I really pondered that question for hours and hours. This week, in studying this passage, I still don't have any great answers other than just the Word, but I have a better understanding. I want to give you a painting and you see if it helps clear any thinking for you. Let's take a home that we call a, quote, Christian home. And let's have a mother and a father that attend worship three times a week. But let's have a mother and a father that don't really dig into the Word themselves. So therefore, the kids, ever since they have been rocking all the way into the time they've been asking to borrow the car keys, have really never seen parents that have studied the Word. They have never had the opportunity very many times in their lives to sit down with their parents and to hear a Bible story and to have a prayer before they go to bed. They perhaps maybe have not even seen a Christian example around the house on a consistent basis. It was very inconsistent. And here we say, now listen, I have a Christian home because I bring them to church every time the doors are open. Every time it was vacation Bible school, I had them enrolled. Every time it was a gospel meeting, they were sitting on the pew with me. Now, the child comes to the age in life where he has to count the cost. You see, his high school counselors say, listen, you're going to have to look and see if you're willing to invest 4 years of your time and of expenses to further your education. And now the child has to make a decision. He's at that point in his life where he has to weigh the cost. Is it worth it for me to go to college? Some say yes and they go. Some say no and now they have to weigh the cost. Is this job the one I want or is it another job? Does this one pay enough? Is this one worth the hours? You see, they've reached an age then where everything has to be weighed and they have to do it for themselves. No longer is it mother and father's decision. Now it is only natural that they do the same thing with their spiritual life. It's only natural. It's not wrong. It's natural. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, I want you to do it. He says, I want you to sit down and I want you to count the cost. Now let's go back to that family. What is that child going to say about the cost? There's a good chance that child's going to look back and say, you know, I've heard all of those doctrines through the years, but I don't really understand the benefit of it all. I don't understand where all the love was that they said would be there. I don't understand where the peace of mind is that they said would come in being a Christian. I don't understand where the security is that 1 John speaks of. And there's a good chance they're going to make the decision that it's not worth the cost. And then we say, why? Why did they do that? Maybe it was because of the things we did when they were 2 and 3 and 4 years old. Maybe it was because of the lack of Christian example that they saw in the home. Maybe it was because of a million different reasons. But it all goes back to them counting the cost. Now please understand, I'm not saying that parents are the only salvation for a child. Not at all. That's the child's decision to make. And there will be the best parents in the world that their children will not obey. That's the decision of each individual. But what I do challenge any of us that have children, and I'm not talking about the teenage children, they're late in their life so far as their years at home. I'm talking to those of us that have small children. Now is the time for us to challenge ourselves. To say whenever my child reaches that point to wherever he has to look back and he has to count the cost, I want my child to be able to say, that was a beautiful life at home. The Christian atmosphere was great. I wouldn't exchange it for any other life. And that's the life I want for me and my wife, her husband and children. But it has to be worked on for their lifetime. What is it worth? Jesus says, count the cost. Now that's an application that's not just to people with children. That's an application for any of us. If we're allowing our spiritual life to boil down to the simplicity of all of my life consists of is that I go to church. If that's it, brethren, when the winds and the rains and the floods come that are mentioned in Matthew, the 7th chapter, we're going to shake and we're going to rock and we're going to fall off the foundation and we're going to say, why? And the truth is, we never were on Jesus Christ. Because building on Jesus Christ is a daily thing. Building on Jesus Christ and being the master builder that our text speaks of is a daily building. And we all must challenge ourselves to that daily building. The following verse says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 11. Now we've looked in these first few minutes on how to build once we surpass the foundation. But now Paul goes back and he says, but let's remind you that the foundation cannot change. The foundation cannot be picked. We can't say, okay, Jesus, I want this foundation over here. Jesus, I want this foundation over here. If we go to Jesus Christ to build on Jesus Christ, it's a fixed foundation that has been the same and will always be the same. In Matthew, the 7th chapter that we looked at in Bible class, we saw that there were two foundations. There's the wise man's foundation, which is the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And that foundation, if we are building on it, it says the builder will know and do. Know and do the ways of Jesus. That makes the wise builder on the foundation. Then there was the foundation of the sand. Now, brethren, sand is numerous. Sand can be anywhere. Sand is not fixed. It moves about. The wind picks up and blows sand. Water rushes sand. Rains beat sand down into the earth. Sand is nowhere to build, but yet it's numerous. So anywhere that we build, if it's not on Jesus Christ, we're on the sand. But now let's go back to that point. There's a vast difference in knowing Jesus Christ and building on Jesus Christ. I challenge you this morning to answer honestly. Are you doing both? Do you know Him and are you building? You see, I would say in the Church of Christ, we have a good start, a very good start on knowing Jesus Christ. We strive to know Him, and I think here at East Gadsden, we all want to know Jesus Christ. But do we do His will? do we build? A couple of years ago, I'd really stressed to a class that we need in everything we do to think, what would Jesus do? Not just know what He would do, but then carry it out. No matter what the consequence, no matter what the last, what embarrassment it would be, to always ask, what would Jesus do, and live it. One of the girls came up to me a few weeks later and said, David, real sweet girl, real good personality. You know, teenagers are very honest sometimes. Said, David, I went to a movie last night. You wouldn't like that movie. I said, why not? She said, it had some bad scenes, a lot of vulgar language. I said, well, why did you go? She said, oh, it was a good movie. Real good movie. I said, now, is that a movie you'd want to take Jesus to? She smiled. She said, yeah, I'd take Jesus to it. I said, you think you'd take Jesus to that movie? She said, if He wanted to go. And she paused. She said, but He wouldn't want to go to that movie. And I said, don't you think that if Jesus wouldn't want to go to the movie, that you shouldn't want to go to the movie? She said, yeah, you're right, but I don't care. I don't care. And went on her way smiling. Not many of us are that honest, but many of us live it. I know what Jesus wants in my life, and I'm not going to stand up and yell it, but the truth is, I don't care. You see, I can come and I can be a part of a church, quote, using it loosely. I can be a part of a church, and I can make everyone believe I'm religious, but when it comes down to sticking with that thin, firm foundation, I don't want it. I want to do a little bit of what self wants to do. I want to go out and please myself a little bit in ways that Jesus would not. And then I want to come and I want to gather on Sunday and Wednesday and talk about the rock that I'm standing on. We can't build on the rock unless we know Jesus and are doing the things He wants us to do. Jesus, when He was ready to build or to speak of the church, He asked them, who do you think I am? And they gave many answers. And finally, Peter said, thou art the Son of the living God. A few verses down, Jesus then said, upon that rock, speaking about that confession, upon the confession that I am the Son of the living God, He says, I'm going to build my church. Well, Jesus, what good is it on that foundation? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, Jesus, what if just so happens I build beside that church? The implied opposite, the gates of hell will prevail against it. Jesus, what if I decide not to build anywhere? The gates of hell will prevail against it. Brethren, I need to realize the seriousness, the soberness of deciding to build other than Jesus Christ. Oh, it may be easy to nonchalantly say, I don't care. But on Judgment Day, we're going to regret the actions and the words of saying, I don't care. Putting a test to this foundation, and we'll have to close. What is the test, Paul? He says in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Now there's many, many interpretations of what these verses mean. My personal interpretation of these verses is that the precious things, such as gold, silver, and precious stones, fire will purify them. Fire will make them better. But the things such as wood, hay, and stubble, when fire come to them, they simply devour. They're burnt up. You can't look at ashes and say, well, look at that stick of wood in those ashes. It's burnt up. It's just ashes. He says, now you have a man that's built on the proper foundation. His life is precious. It's like the gold or silver. And the temptations, you remember back in Matthew, the rain, the floods, the wind. They're only going to purify him. They're going to make him stronger. They're going to make him better. But the man that builds off of the foundation of Jesus Christ, those great temptations are going to come and he's going to be devoured. He's going to blow away. He's going to be like ashes. Now when you look at the verse, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. That's the man that if his works stay there, meaning that the fire does not devour it. But notice verse 15, if any man's works shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Notice his works are going to be lost. Though the hay, the wood, the stubble is going to be lost. But notice this, and we close with this point. Listen close. Jesus does not say, Paul writing here by the inspiration of God, does not say, don't worry about it. You're going to be burned up in your wicked acts. And you won't even experience hell. He doesn't say that. He said all of your wickedness is going to burn up. But you are going to be saved. Not salvation saved. Saved as in you will not be destroyed, but your soul will live for an eternity in hell. It will not be devoured, but it will be punished. This morning, where are we standing? I hope that every one of us are on the rock of Jesus Christ. And I hope that every one of us, as we look at the two stories of Luke, we're willing to say, yes, daily I want to be a master builder and I'm going to be careful how I build. I hope we're willing to look at the stories in Matthew and we're willing to say, when I build daily, I'm going to make sure day after day that I go back to that foundation of Jesus Christ. And I know that if I step off that foundation, I've caused myself to be lost for an eternity. This morning, if we can help you in any way, we want to encourage each of us to build a master home for the Lord to abide in. If you've never obeyed the gospel, now's the time to build on the rock. If you have obeyed, but somewhere along the way you've strayed, we all make mistakes. The important thing is to come back, to build again on that rock, because there's no salvation off the rock of Jesus Christ. Won't you come to Him as you stand, as we sing?